Hi, this is Charles Lewis.
And this is Todd Lewis.
You know, one of the all-time biggest, most common questions that we get time and time and time again are about exhibits, about showing your photographs all over the community, getting your work out in the community where everybody can see it. We get so many questions about this, and I think one of the reasons I get so many questions about it is that this is how I built my business. This is how I started with almost no money, no reputation, no friends in the community. My parents were not in the photography business. I started from zero, and without the money, I had to get my work out into the community. And so we're going to talk about what I consider to be the number one top greatest marketing secret on the planet for the photography business. But before we get to that, I thought we could do a couple of questions, answer a couple of questions, if that's all right with you, Todd.
Sure.
All right. Well, the first one is from Stan. I would like to know the top things that you tell clients to let them know that we're not just picture takers. Now, we don't ever, under any circumstances, use the word picture. Under any circumstances, we're always going to use the word portrait or photograph. Picture is a bad word, but that was the way he worded it, so I read it the way he sent it to me. So let's answer that for just a couple of minutes first, because, you know, right now, you know, you're busy. At least I sure hope you're busy. I mean, this is the very busiest time of the year. Research shows that more people are thinking about having photographs taken between now and the holidays than they are for the whole rest of the year combined. So this means you're going to be getting calls. You're getting clients. People are thinking, hey, come on, I want a photograph taken. It make a nice gift to give somebody, blah, blah, blah. So let's talk a little bit just quickly about this, because this can make a huge difference between now and the holidays on how much money you're going to be bringing in. Because he says, again, tell me the top things to tell clients to let them know we're not just, quote, picture takers. Well, my answer is you don't tell them hardly anything. See, if you're not dramatically trained in selling, it's a really good question, by the way. If you're not dramatically trained in selling, you think that the way you sell something is you memorize a bunch of lines and a bunch of things to say, and then you talk, 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 talk. And it's actually exactly the opposite to what you would think. What you do is you ask questions. You ask the right questions. The key is to know what questions to ask, to make sure you're asking the right questions. And then you shut up and you listen. You let the client or the prospect do the talking. But your questions that you ask them lead them in the correct direction. Now, we know that people invest in photography for emotional reasons, not logical reasons. Therefore, we're going to ask them questions about their family, about emotional questions, about their family, their relationships, their children, why they're thinking of having their photograph taken at this time in their life, what's most important to them about the photographs. See, that's how you sell. It's not, you know, memorizing the top things to tell clients to let them know we're not just picture takers. It's the opposite. It's asking them the right questions and getting the client or the prospect on the right side, the emotional side of her brain.
And so, then as you're asking those questions are designed partially to open the door for you to now be able to talk about your unique factors,
yes,
the things that set you apart from other studios in the area, talking about your guarantee. If, you know, one of their problems is they're not, you know, what if I don't like the photographs or this is too much of an investment, your guarantee is going to come up. But the point is, as my dad just said, you've got to ask the questions in order to find out what the dominant buying motive is of your client. Because the worst thing you can ever do is assume that you know the right answers to these questions. Well, I've, you know, talked to so many clients, I kind of know what they're looking for. I kind of know what their objections are. So I'm just going to talk and handle these objections before they come up. No, you must treat every client as a unique human being and as a unique prospect. Otherwise, you're going to take the wrong tactic to get them in the door. And so if your booking percentage isn't where you would like it to be, it's because you're probably not following this principle.
So see, if you want to make a lot of money between now and the holidays, the single most powerful thing you can do, if we have to bring it down to one thing, is ask a whole lot of really emotional questions to everybody who calls you on the phone, to everybody who comes into your studio. Instead of doing all the talking, do all the asking, and then let the client or the prospect do the talking. So you say, tell me about your family. How old are your children? Why are you thinking of having the photograph taken now? What's most important to you about these photographs? How long has it been since you had a really nice photograph created? See, you're asking these questions that are designed to move her to the emotional right side of her brain.
See, and buying something, investing in something, is not a left brain process.
Right.
It's always a right brain process. In fact, I could make the argument that anything you invest in, you're going to do somewhat for right brain reasons, for creative, for emotional reasons.
You bet.
Even things that you would think are left brain things. So if buying or investing in something is a right brain process, then shouldn't selling something be, or getting someone happily involved with something, as we would say,
yep,
shouldn't that also be a right brain process? Absolutely. If you want to sell, you got to get them in the right brain. And the best way to do that is by asking questions, being genuine, showing them that you care about them.
Yep. Thank you, Todd. Good point. So there you have it. Next question. Chuck, I'm having trouble getting my name out there without spending ungodly amounts of money on advertising, which even though you have to pay nothing short of your right arm, it still doesn't seem to draw the clients in the door. What can I do? It's not about getting your name out there. That's not what this is all about. What we want to do is get people to actually take action. In other words, yes, we want it, you know, in a dream world, we'd like to have our name be on the lips of every single person in our community. Well, we don't have the budget for that. So what can we do to create a huge demand for our photography, Chuck, when we don't hardly have any money to put into it? Is there some secret magic way to do that? And the best way on the planet that I mentioned to you earlier here is exhibiting your photographs all over the community. Now, between now and the holidays, like I said earlier, more people are thinking about having photographs taken than the whole rest of the year combined. So if you're wanting to have to do something that will really make a big difference between now and the holidays, this is it. See, if we can get you out into the community to get photographs all over the community where people are going to see your work right now, it is not too late. Now is the time. Okay, if you'll take action right now, you're going to bring in a whole ton more money between now and the holidays, because people will see your work. They'll love what they see. Well, let's rephrase that. The people who don't like what they see, they won't call you. It's so cool. They won't call you. But the people who like what they see your work and they like it, they'll pick up the phone because they're thinking about photography now.
Now, this is one of the things that we hear the most questions about, and what we're going to be dealing with today is we're going to deal with the nuts and bolts of exactly how to get the exhibits. If you've already thought, yeah, okay, getting exhibits and displays in my community is the way to go, I'm sold on that. That makes sense to me, but I don't know how to go about it. You are going to absolutely love this, because that's what we're going to do today. We're going to dispel all the myths about how to get these exhibits.
That's
what
right.
You say, how you do it. We're going to actually do a role play you're going to actually hear how we do, you know, how we would do presenting the idea of having an exhibit to someone.
Yeah, you're going to hear a consulting call. This is a coaching consulting call that I recently did with one of my students. And listen to the dramatic, my tone of voice. Listen to how I talk to these people as we're doing these role plays. This is going to help you in so many areas of your photography business, not only in how to get exhibits, which is certainly going to help you a lot in that, but it's also going to help you with your selling, because you're going to hear the enthusiasm, the passion, the words that I say. You're going to discover so many selling secrets and persuasional secrets that you're just going to go nuts over this. So this is going to make a huge difference in your income, both now and in all the years to come in your future.
So let's head right into that consulting call. Get ready to take lots of notes. You're going to love this one.
Yep, and then we'll talk to you at the end of this as well.
Now, let's talk about the demographics. Where are these exhibits located? How many restaurants do we have?
I only have one restaurant.
See, restaurants are the third best. The best is a mall.
Right.
The second best is a movie theater. Third best are restaurants.
Yeah, now let me... All right, so maybe maybe we could talk about how to improve my success with that. What I found so far in attempting restaurants, and this one is a, again, I didn't get at all what I wanted. This was a place they said, no, we don't like the idea of, these portraits. It doesn't fit with our decor, but we'll let you put a couple in the window. You know, so that's all I was able to get with that,
okay,
was a couple in the window.
See, the whole feeling of this is wrong.
Yeah.
We'll let you put a few in the window. See, that sounds like you're asking for a favor.
Yeah.
And this is not a favor. This is a joint venture. So, I'm jumping to a conclusion here, but my conclusion I'm jumping to is that the sales process, the actual presentation of the concept of getting an exhibit, it needs tweaking.
Yeah.
Because this isn't, they're not doing you a favor. Screw you, I'll go to somebody else. I don't need any favors. Come on, I'm a very successful photography business. I don't need any favors, thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're interested in getting more people in your restaurant, if you're getting interested in getting people talking about your restaurant all over town,
mm-hmm,
for free, where you don't have to lift a single finger, then you might want to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think you're just doing me a favor, can I please have an exhibit? Oh, please, business is so bad and I need an exhibit. Baloney, I'm out of here.
Right.
See, this is a joint venture. This is a joint venture for which this guy doesn't have to lift a finger.
Mm-hmm.
We do all the work. He just sits there and enjoys the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
See? So it's a matter of presenting it from a point of, this is a business joint venture. This is not a favor. I'm not asking you for a favor. I'm not asking you to put my photographs in your stupid restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, I've got a plan here, and this plan can benefit you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about it. If you got a couple seconds, here it is. Number one, we're going to get people coming in to see their photographs, because when I'm going to put 10 photographs. A minimum exhibit is 8 to 10 images, so I'm going to put 8 to 10 images up in your restaurant. Okay. Then I'm going to go back, and I'm going to call all 8 or 10 of those people. And I'm going to say, man, I just had to call you right away. We just took your family portrait and put it up at the Johnson Main Street restaurant. We are so excited about this. It looks fantastic. You have got to see it. It is beautiful. All right? So now, we know, statistics show us, that the average family knows approximately between 100 and 200 other people. Okay, but they don't talk with them all the time. But so let's divide that in half. Let's say it's 50 people. Okay, let's divide that in half. Let's say it's 25 people. Over the course of the next month, this Mrs. Johnson is going to talk to 25 people, 25 friends, through various things that she's going to do. And you know what she's going to tell all 25 of them? She's going to say, oh, I had to mention to you, David called me the other day, and our portrait is up at the Johnson's Main Street restaurant. We are so excited about this. It is so cool. All right, so now your restaurant has been mentioned. It is on the tongue of all these different people. More than people are talking about your restaurant now. Nobody's talking about your restaurant now. I mean, yes, you've got good clientele coming in. Nobody's talking about your restaurant. This is going to get them talking about your restaurant. Now, guess what Mrs. Johnson does? She comes down to see that portrait almost every time. I mean, not all the people do, but most of them do, because they're so excited. So she comes down and she comes into the restaurant, and she doesn't come alone. She brings friends. And while she's there, she has lunch or dinner. I've got a new client, a number of new clients now, eating at your restaurant, and you didn't have to lift a finger. Not a finger. Done. And what now, if you take good care of her, and of course you will, and you have good service, and of course you do, she's going to come back over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, this is exciting stuff. So not only are we going to, I mean, I love the decor of your restaurant. It is beautiful. You've done a beautiful job with it. But not only are we going to put up beautiful images that are going to really add to the decor, and it's going to be really interesting, but number one big benefit is we're going to get people coming in and having lunch and dinner that wouldn't have been there otherwise. Some of them will buy some wine. I mean, this becomes a profitable venture for you. Then in 30 to 45 days, we come back, we take down those 10 photographs, we put up 10 different photographs. And I go back and I call those 10 people, and the whole thing happens over and over again. So this means that people all over the community are talking about your restaurant. Isn't this exciting? How do you feel about that? Well, how much is it going to cost me? See, that's what we call a buying signal.
Right.
And that's my favorite thing I get.
When I make
a good presentation where they can clearly see the benefits, they say, yeah, how much is this going to cost me?
You just sold it.
Tells me I've done a good job.
Right.
He can now see a benefit. He's not doing me a favor. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put a couple of them in the window. No, that's okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go down the street to the restaurant down the street.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Thanks very much. It was a pleasure talking with you. You know, I'm very diplomatic.
Right.
You know, but the bottom line is, no, I'm out of here. Thanks. Bye.
Right.
You know, now if I'm dead desperate, okay, I'll put a couple up in your window. Let's try it for a foot in the door law. We'll try it for 30 to 45 days. When you start seeing the response you get and the people who are commenting on those beautiful photographs, then we'll go and we'll put them in the rest of the restaurant. You know, so if I think there's potential here, I'll go ahead and I'll do the old foot in the door law, get something in, start working with a relationship with this guy or girl, you know, and then I'll build it.
Okay.
But that's the number one benefit. The number two benefit for a restaurant is people come in at the busy time, you know, Saturday nights, Friday nights. It's busy. They got to wait. This restaurant doesn't take reservations, and even if they do, people have to wait. People don't like to wait. This gives people something to do. Instead of just sitting there twiddling their thumbs, they get a chance to walk around in the, because I like to put the majority of the photographs in the basic waiting area, entry area. That's where I like to do. I don't prefer... I'll do it, but I don't prefer to put photographs throughout the restaurants. Throughout the restaurant. I don't like to do it. I like to have it in a entryway, either on easels or hanging on the walls. So this gives people, while they're standing around waiting for a table, this keeps them in a good mood because they're looking at the photographs and they say, hey, that's Dr. Jones. I know Dr. Jones. Hey, that's a nice photograph. You know, blah, 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 blah. So I win because some people see my work and say, hey, this guy's pretty good. If I ever need a portrait, I'll give him a call. So it's a win for me, and it's a win for you, because I'm sending people, and not only am I sending them to your restaurant, but people are talking about your restaurant. That's the key thing. They're mentioning your restaurant as they talk among each other. And that's a massively, I mean, you spend a lot of money on marketing every month trying to get people to come in. Well, here's one of the major steps, is I'm getting people talking about your restaurant.
Okay.
So let's set this up. How do you feel about this? Isn't this exciting? Well, how much is it going to cost me? That's a neat thing. It's not going to cost you anything because I win, you win. It's a great thing. There you go.
Okay, let's talk about specifics. I have a number of... things I don't really know how to do.
Okay, but keep in mind, you got to be passionate about this. I mean, you can hear the passion in my voice.
Right.
You can hear that I really believe in this stuff, and that if you don't want to do it, it's no problem. I just thought I'd give you a try first because I eat here quite often, and I like your restaurant, and I think your service is excellent. But it's no problem. I can go down the street. There's 10 other restaurants on my list here. I just thought I'd give you the first try.
Right.
And I always say that when they start to waffle. I always say, hey, it's no problem. You know, I'm not asking for any favors here. This is a win-win joint venture thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not interested, it's no problem. I understand. I'll just go down the street to such and such restaurant.
Okay.
You know, so I always meant in a very diplomatic, nice, kind, friendly way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, I always mention that.
Right.
I mean, you know, I got exhibits. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have a portfolio of your current exhibits that you can show them?
David. I have photographed the exhibits,
David, where's the portfolio? Got to have the portfolio. That's part, I mean, that's like trying to sell photographs when you don't take photographs. You know, duh.
Yeah.
We got to have, you know, people are not visually creative. We are, but they aren't.
Right.
They can't visualize. You're trying to describe to them how it's going to look. It's going to look plunked up on the wall. It's going to look ugly. It's not going to have any style. I'm not interested. Get out of here. But if you open up your portfolio and you show images of exhibits you have around town. See, people want to do what they believe is being done already by their peers. Therefore, it's very critical that we have a portfolio so that we can get people seeing that this is being done right now. Now, when I first started out, when I moved to Grand Rapids, I didn't have any exhibits in Grand Rapids. Therefore, I had, when we were still in Omaha, I went around Omaha, picked my favorite architectural buildings, put the photographs up, took a photograph of the photographs, then took them down and went to the next place because I needed to have a portfolio that I could show in Grand Rapids to show them that this is being done. And as I just moved here from Omaha, Nebraska, here are some exhibits I had in Omaha, Nebraska. Now that's, I had them for about 30 minutes. It was a 30-minute exhibit. But it was an exhibit. They were in the building. They were displayed. They were on easels. There were flower arrangements around. They were on walls with plants and stuff coming up from the floor. I mean, they looked really, really nice. And so that people can look at that and they can say, oh, yeah, this is pretty. I thought you were just going to plop some photographs. Oh, this looks very, very nice. I like the way this looks. Okay, very important part of it.
Okay, that's the part, that's part of my problem, is I don't like the way my exhibits look because, for the most part, I guess, I have been putting them up kind of where they would let me put them up, you know, and in as many as they'd let me put them up and the way they'd let me put them up, and I don't really like the way they look. I don't think they look all that impressive. That's,
yeah, we gotta fix
that's
that.
A big problem. So, number one, let's say, for example, let me try to think ahead. Let's say there's a restaurant in town, fairly new, opened about a year ago. I'd actually approached them when they opened, and they turned me down. But it's a nice restaurant. We've eaten there a couple of times. They have a nice area for adults, and they have a separate room for family, you know, and it's kind of a little bit upscale.
Yep.
So it sounds like a good kind of prospect.
Is it a locally owned company?
It is locally owned,
yep.
Yes.
But that's a key. You know, I don't even waste my time with franchises.
Right,
unless
not a franchise.
I were desperate. Now, see, if I'm desperate, I'll do anything.
Right.
You know, I'll try anything. I'll go to every franchise in town. I mean, I'll do whatever it takes to get a dozen exhibits in high traffic areas. I'll
right.
do whatever it takes. But if I'm not desperate, then I'm going to go for the people who are restaurants that are locally owned because
sure.
it's just easier to deal with those people.
So one problem I guess I've got is I don't feel like I know how to design the exhibit. So let's say, now with this restaurant, you walk in the door and it's kind of open. There isn't a separate room for, you know, for a waiting area.
Okay.
But there is sort of a little waiting area. There's a couple of couches and stuff like that.
What's
so
above
how,
the couches?
I'm sorry?
What is up above the couches?
You know, I haven't been there in a while. I think there's a glass walls, as I recall, on either side. Yeah, there is one wall in the back.
It's hard to put nails in a glass wall. Have
really?
Tried that?
No, I haven't tried that lately. Have you tried that? Yeah. Hot glue. Hot glue.
Yeah,
works on everything.
Right on.
So I guess my first, one of the big problems I have is going into a space is I can't figure out how to even set up an exhibit that would look really nice because it always seems like there's no space. There's just kind of, they've already got paintings up on the wall most of the time. So do you actually take the things down and replace them with your stuff? Or
that's the thing I go for first because, see, the paintings aren't bringing anybody in.
Okay.
The paintings aren't a marketing program.
Okay.
My photographs are a marketing program. It's a joint venture marketing program. Benefits
right.
them, benefits us. So, you know, that's the first thing I do, you know, is take down the paintings, and you know, then he says or she says, "Oh, wait a minute! I put a lot of money and time into this. I ain't changing that." All right, then let's use easels. Let's set up a little spot in the corner here. We can put three beautiful flower arrangements. We can do five easels. And then we'll put one on the wall here and one on the wall there. So that's seven photographs. So I only need one more photograph, you know, because I need a minimum of eight. So I only need one more, and then I've got what I consider an exhibit. So, you know, I've got five easels photographed.
Five easels plus three on the wall?
Yeah, that's all I need.
Now, with the easels, do you do, you know, like two different height, like a sort of a, you know, full-size easel and then a little table size in front of it to get two different heights?
Correct.
So the five easels, you might have like three tall ones and two short ones, something like that.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's right. And then baskets of flowers, silk flowers. Sherry is extraordinarily good at that. She puts flowers in the baskets that are for the current season. You know, like right now she's switching between tulips and she'll go into some mums or something like that.
Okay.
And then in the holidays she'll go to poinsettias and things like that. So we're always changing it. She gets these real inexpensive wicker, nice-looking wicker baskets from, like, Michael's.
Mm-hmm.
And she also only buys the flowers when they're on sale. She buys them
right.
when they're 50% off. And they last forever and ever and ever. They last for an eternity.
Yeah, I've been collecting those slowly but surely. I have. I use them sometimes, you know, in the portraits, too. I've got about four or five pots of soap flowers that I keep around.
What you do is you take the exhibits you now have. Mm-hmm. You start there. And you go in with some baskets of flowers and some different sized easels. And, you know, and I just buy those really inexpensive ones at the art supply stores, like Michael's and stuff. You can get them for like $12-15. They have two-part legs. The legs are two pieces that are screwed together. So that gives you two different heights right off the bat without even doing anything. You know, I don't even have to saw any legs off or anything. I can just take and put the legs together in two parts, and that's the tall easel, and then only use the one part for a lower easel.
Oh, these are wood?
Yeah, they're just wood. And I get them unstained. When I had more time than money,
mm-hmm.
I got them unstained, really inexpensive ones, and then I stained them myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still use them today. I mean, I've been using them for 30 years.
They're about $20.
Yeah, I mean, they're cheap.
Yeah, I found some inexpensive brass ones, a little more. They're about $40 or $50.
Yeah, but see, that's too much money. You know, I gotta spread my money when I'm in your situation.
Yeah.
I gotta watch every penny.
Right.
So I'm looking for the absolute cheapest way money can buy. You know, then maybe 10, 15 years ago, we bought a couple of dozen inexpensive brass easels,
mm-hmm.
and we're still using those as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the wood ones last forever.
Okay.
And they're cheap.
Okay.
You know, and they look, 'cause see, all you want them to do is to be invisible. We don't want to call attention to the legs of the easels and everything. So we want the easels to be very invisible. That's why I just stained them a neutral wood tone.
Right.
You know, because I want the portraits to stand out. That's what I want to stand out. So you start with the exhibits you have, and you go in and you say, I need to create a portfolio of exhibits. And what I'd like to do is to bring in a few flower arrangements and a few easels and a couple of plants and work a little bit on setting up an exhibit to make so that it looks really, really pretty, and then photographing it so I've got it from our portfolio. Now, if you end up liking it, I'll leave it that way. I'll leave it in your shop that way.
Okay.
But if you don't like it, it's no problem. I'll put the exhibit back the way it is now, and I'll leave. Is that okay with you? They'll say, sure, it's no problem. In fact, I don't even ask. I just show up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's a restaurant, I show up at a very slow time. I prefer 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, to be out of there by 11 or 11:30,
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to cause any problems
right.
with them making a good living. But I just show up, okay, with my,
mm-hmm.
my van full of plants and flowers and stuff. So you set it all up so it looks really, really attractive.
Right.
You take your camera, set it on a tripod, drag the old shutter so that
right.
you get a real nice ambient light photograph of it. Then they've come around, they've looked at it, and they go, wow, this looks really nice. Are you saying that you can leave it like this? You bet I can if you'd like me to, but it's up to you. You're the boss.
Okay.
Oh, well, I kind of like this, yeah. You know, so boom, you're set. See, that's also how you get new exhibits. Okay, the best, easiest way to get new exhibits, because people can't visualize it.
Right.
Is to, you know, pick the buildings that you like, that have the demographics that you like, that are high traffic areas, the movie theaters, you know, the mall. You know, I need high traffic areas. And you go in and you get permission just to set it up. It's a commercial shoot, if I can use a bad word.
Yes.
You know, and what you're doing is getting permission to set this thing up, photograph it, and tear it down. We love the architecture of your building. We love the decor of your building. You've done such a beautiful job with this restaurant. It is so gorgeous. What I'd like to do is just come in, set the stuff up, photograph. I'll be out of here in an hour. You won't even know I was here. Would that be okay? It's such a beautiful job you've done with the decor of this building.
Okay.
So they go, oh, well, sure, it'd be no problem, you know. Thank you very much. We'll be here next Wednesday at 10 o'clock, you know. So now you've got, you're creating photographs for your portfolio, but the other thing you're doing is you're setting up this beautiful exhibit.
Right.
And so they walk over and they go, whoa, this looks really nice. I said, well, if you'd like, I can leave it over lunch if you'd like and see how your patrons like it. Okay, that'd be great. So I leave it up over lunch. I come back after lunch, pick it up, or the next day, whatever. And they go, wow, hey, you know, I had a lot of people comment on how beautiful this looked. Do you think we could leave it here a little? I mean, how easy can it be to get an exhibit, you know?
Okay.
I mean, that was simple. I mean, that was a breeze. In Omaha, when I went around, Sherry and I went around setting up these exhibits, these fake exhibits to do photographs of, 50% of the people asked if I could leave them.
Wow.
I mean, and I didn't even, I mean, I didn't, I couldn't. I couldn't leave them. Number one, I'm leaving town.
Because you were leaving town.
I'm leaving town. Number two is I need to set it up at the next place in half an hour.
Right.
You know, I'm due someplace else in half an hour. I can't leave it up. But, I mean, because, see, people are not visually creative. So they, you come in and say, I'll put my photographs all over this wall. It'll look really nice. We'll do a nice job. They can't visualize that. So that's why you've got to have a portfolio.
Okay. So that's, this is good. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to gather up. Now, oh, next question. Okay. Increasingly, in the studio, you know, what I mostly have up, you know, more and more is canvases with expensive frames, because that's what I want to sell.
You bet.
For the exhibits, should I, is it better to standardize on like one simple inexpensive frame and do everything in that?
Yes. I mean, if you can find a nice neutral frame that is inexpensive but looks fairly nice, I mean, but, you know, the whole key to this thing is the budget. You got to set a budget. Once you set the budget, that tells us everything. It tells us what kind of frames, but certainly don't show canvas photographs unless you've already got them and bought and paid for. Then fine, we'll use them. But what I'm interested in is putting up for the least amount of money. So I want an inexpensive frame that look that the portrait looks really nice on. I mean, it's got to look good on it.
Mm-hmm. But, probably, you know, wood, not metal.
Yeah, I've used both. I've used brass frames. Those are what I use for my symphony and my ballet.
Mm-hmm.
We use brass frames that are all matching. Looks really nice. But I've also used wood. The problem with wood is it does get banged up once in a while. You got to be really careful with them. And, but you know, when you're transporting them, you've got to be real careful. We have special bags that we made that are made of padded material, and we can put two portraits in a bag back to back.
Yeah, I use that, boxes, but
that protects the frames and the images. But yeah, we're interested in doing this for the absolute least expensive way we humanly can. I mean, we want the photographs to look wonderful. We want the artwork done on them. We want them signed. You know, yes, but you know, we don't need canvas.
So it's a straight photographic print, with no glass.
Correct.
And no mat.
Correct. It's lacquered. It's artworked and enhanced, it's signed, but no canvas, no glass, no nothing.
Now what about sizes? I can do, I mean, one thing, in terms of budget, the least expensive thing for me, I can make 1620s in-house.
Right on then, 16x20s it is.
So that's, you know, there which you is go. A little cheaper than getting, obviously, 20x30s or something from the lab, so that's big enough?
You bet. Start with 16x20s and upgrade over the years. I started with all 11x14s and 16x20s when I was dead broke, because that's all I could afford. I couldn't even afford that, but I did it. I made it. I ate beans and rice.
Right.
I mean, if that's what it takes, I'll eat beans and rice. You know, I've got to cut every expense I can cut. It is sink or swim, and I'm not about to sink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I went 11x14s and 16x20s, and then as the phone started ringing like crazy and my sales got better and I started projecting and I was making good money, then I upgraded to 2024s and a couple 24x30. You know, I did everything in stages and steps, nothing dramatic.
Is it better to be all 16x20 rather than mix up the sizes?
It depends on the location, you know. But, yeah, if you just started with 16x20s, boom.
That's not bad, Dave. If you don't mat it, that's fairly small, I guess.
Yeah, that's that'll go anywhere.
Yeah. All right, I'm trying to work out my game plan here. So what I want to do, my first step is I'm going to assemble a group of 8 or 10 1620s, not canvas, in a standard frame. What do you think, black, gold?
Well, I'm not a big black fan,
just
because it doesn't enhance the portrait, really, in my opinion. In portraiture, I like warm tones to surround the portrait because it helps bring out the skin tones and helps the portrait be three-dimensional.
Like a warm wood tone, like a cherry or something?
You got it. I like a warm wood tone or a brass. Brass is warm.
Yeah.
Actually, it's fake brass.
Right.
But, you know, it looks nice.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's neutral, you know, and they're small frames. They're only like an inch, you know, maybe 2 inches maximum I mean, they're small.
Yeah, I try to go for, about an inch and a half or so on a 1625. I try to make the frame sort of proportional, so I'll go bigger. I'll go up to maybe 3 inches on a, a big one.
Yeah, but not on an exhibit.
No. But, for 1620s, I usually recommend, like an inch and a half or something like that.
Yeah, so I try to keep them smaller.
2 inch,
because I don't want to call attention to the frame. I want to call attention to the portrait. So
right.
The only reason I'm putting them in frames is because if we don't put them in frames, it doesn't have the class. It
right.
doesn't have the style.
Right.
It doesn't have the romance. So we need to have a frame that finishes it off and makes it look professional, doesn't look like a poster. But the frame is very insignificant.
Okay. Now,
just as long as I have a frame.
Okay. So I'm going to put together 8 to 10 1620s in a standard frame.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would it be better to have a mix? For example, I could have, a couple of family portraits, a couple of wedding portraits, a couple of kids, a kid with pet, that kind of thing?
Yep.
Mixed.
That's what I usually
mixed
do.
Mixed subjects.
Now, as we get into the, you can use exhibits, especially in your real high traffic areas, to tie in with a typical promotion, like for high school seniors. If I have a special high school senior discount special offer,
right.
I can take down all the photographs, put all senior images up, some with pets, but it's all based on seniors.
That's a little further up the line.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do, I guess my goal at the moment is if I could just get one of these that's right, I think that would be a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Get
long
one
as
good
in
one.
A nice high traffic area, and that's why I would go for the mall, and I'd go for.
So you think I should actually try a mall to start?
Well, heck yeah.
That's mall, the toughest one I know.
The top three
to do.
Malls, movie theaters, and restaurants. The problem with movie theaters is they're all.
They're all chains.
Conglomerate chains now, and it's much more, but it can still be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a problem. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. But keep in mind, you're not asking, you're selling.
Right.
You're going in there and you're saying, here's what I'm going to do for you.
Right.
Let's put
and I'd be better off probably going to a community, locally owned small movie theater rather than
Heck
one of
yes.
the big chains.
Heck yes.
Yeah, which there are.
Still
there
have
around.
A few. Yeah, if you can
there
find
a lot
them.
Of them, but there
if
are a few.
You can find them. That's where you go.
They're still. I mean, they're smaller. They typically don't have 10 screens, but
that's all right.
You know,
we don't care.
Yeah.
We'll take what we can get.
So what I'm trying to make my I'm forming my game plan here in my head. I'm going to put 8 or 10 together. At least I have the images, so I don't have to.
Right on.
I've got something to work with. That's the good news.
Right on.
I'm going to put 8 or 10 1620s together in a standard frame. I'm going to get some baskets and get my flower stuff together. Probably need some more flowers. So I'm going to have all my materials together. I'm going to start popping around. I'm going to make a list. Well, I guess I could start. There are only about 3 or 4 malls in this area. We're,
mm-hmm.
we're not a very mall-heavy area.
Okay.
And none of them super close to me. I would say there's one, the Trumbull Mall is probably about 15 miles from here. The Danbury Mall is about, they're all about 10, 15 miles from here, from where I live,
That's
I
fine.
Guess.
That's not bad.
Which isn't too dreadful. So I'm going to, so you suggest I start with a mall. I go to a mall and I say, I love the way your mall looks. I go to the marketing person, right? Not the operations person.
That's right.
Go to the marketing person. I did listen.
The marketing director.
Yes, I did pay attention some of the time. What you're saying. Occasionally, I pay attention. And I say, this is such a gorgeous mall. I'm a local photographer. I have this beautiful exhibit. Do I bring it with me?
You bring a couple images with you.
Images with me. And I was wondering if I could just, put up an exhibit.
No, I don't do that with the
mall.
No, you're asking a favor.
Oh, well, this was the, can I just put it up for an hour and photograph it and take
it
down?
Oh, yeah,
that
right
one.
On. I'm
yeah.
sorry. Continue. I apologize.
I was wondering if I could put up an exhibit for just an hour or so and photograph it and take it down. And, it won't be any trouble doing it at the, least busy time of day if you want, and you won't even know I'm here. And, but now I'm asking a favor, so why would they say yes? To them.
Well, because you're such a darn nice guy.
Oh, okay.
And they're not, it doesn't cost them anything.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I haven't done that with a mall.
Okay.
I guess because I was too hungry. I was starving. I mean, I was in a bad way.
Yes.
So I went after this mall to get the exhibit.
Well, maybe.
Right out of the gate. Right. I mean, I went in there, I introduced myself to the marketing director, sat down, chatted with her, asked her what her biggest problems were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there must be something I could do to help make your job easier.
Right.
You know, that was the direction I approached it from.
Okay, that's a separate deal.
What can I do
deal.
To make your job so, easier? Well,
maybe.
See, in my opinion, mm-hmm. if you know, knowing what I know today, mm-hmm. I would start out going for the exhibit. I would start out going in there, meeting the marketing director,
mm-hmm.
talking with her about her biggest challenges, what bothers her the most about
right.
this job, what's the hardest, what is there? There must be something I can do to help you. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come in and I'll do this, 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 and this. I'll photograph this. I'll photograph each store
okay.
window. I'll do blah, blah, blah. And in return, all I ask for in return, no money, they're not going
right.
to cost you a penny, is just an exhibit. Whenever you don't have something major going on in the mall,
mm-hmm.
I'll put up this little exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
It'll look really professional, really nice, and it
mm-hmm.
just helps the mall not look empty
right.
when there's nothing going on in the mall. How's that sound? Is that fair enough? So I start with that, okay? And if she waffles and falls all apart, and you know, I'm handling it, I'm saying, you know, she says, well, you know, I can't make that decision,
right.
blah, blah, blah. We have to have the board get together. Hey, I understand exactly how you feel. I understand completely. When's the next board meeting? Would
right.
you like me to come to the board meeting? That's what I did in
right.
in my mall. And I'll come in and represent you well, and we'll,
mm-hmm.
we'll vote on it. And if they say yes, we're in. If they say no, I'm out.
Right.
So I handle all the stalls that I can. But if it all falls apart, then I sell down
mm-hmm.
to the, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just give you a feeling for this, because I know you really don't know what it's going to look like and everything,
mm-hmm.
and I need a photograph anyway, so, and I love your mall.
Mm-hmm.
So can I just come in and set up my photographs, take a photograph of the whole exhibit, the way it would look, with flower arrangements, with plants,
mm-hmm.
with everything. And then if you don't want me to do it, I'll just take it back down again.
Okay.
Is that okay? You know, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes to get rid of you,
mm-hmm.
they will agree to that lower request.
Right.
So now you've got your photograph that you wanted. But, you know, you were in there, you were talking to them.
Yeah.
You know, let's get this out on the table. If they're going to want to charge me money, which is the biggest thing now, you know,
yep.
they want to charge you money, let's find out what kind of money they're going to want to charge me. Let's
mm-hmm.
find out what I can do in return so that I'm not paying for the exhibit with money. I'm paying for it with beautiful photographs exhibited in their mall.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the work that I'm doing, taking photographs, publicity photographs, photographs of all the stores for the Merchants Association,
mm-hmm.
And then all of the big events that she has. When she has the big things come in, I'm going to show up and I'm going to take photographs when the mall is swamped and busy, because that's what she's paid for. She's paid
okay.
to fill that mall. I'm going to take photographs. I'm going to make books, one for every year, so that next year when it's time to set up the fashion show, you can just go to that book, hand it to the maintenance guy, say, set it up like this. This is what we did last year. Boom. She's done. Her job is done. She doesn't even
okay.
have to walk down the mall.
Okay. All right. Now, would it make sense, what I'm thinking, maybe I'm wrong here, would be, or maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I'm just chicken, I don't know, would be maybe to start with going to a couple of other places and doing this temporary setup, that, you know, like maybe a really nice, either a nice restaurant or a nice, the lobby of a nice office building or something, you know, that looks really good. And see if I can do this temporary. Can I just set up the exhibit, photograph it, and take it down a bit so I have a couple of nice images that I can show of what an exhibit would look like? Because I feel like
idea.
I don't have anything nice right now, because I don't like the way any of my exhibits look.
Right.
Would that make sense to start and then go to the mall?
That makes sense, as long as it doesn't take you more than, I don't know, 3 weeks.
Yeah, okay, 3 weeks.
I don't want any of this, you know, I'll get this all ready, I'll get set,
yeah,
and then next year, boy,
right.
next year I'll
next
go out
year,
there and I'll make a big dent.
Yeah, next year I'll be successful.
Yeah, next
right.
year I'm going to really make this work.
Yeah, not this year, though. yeah.
The big thing is you have to fake this incredible self-confidence.
Right.
That's the thing you have to fake. And your voice has to be really enthusiastic, and your eye contact has to be good, and you have to be dressed professionally, and, you know, you got to really fake it.
Yeah, I just bought a new suit.
You dress really professionally.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be a suit and a tie. It could be a nice pair of slacks and a real nice shirt, you know, and nice shoes that are nicely polished. And, you know, you could get away with that. We're artists, you know. You don't have to do a suit and a tie. But what we want to do is we want to look professional, very well groomed and well dressed, and we want to look confident. We want to be able to walk in there and sell ourselves, because we got to sell ourselves before we can sell anything else.
Right.
So you got to have this great passion, you know, and I am so excited, and here's how you're going to benefit. Here's what I'm going to do for you. You're not asking for an exhibit. There's no there's no request favor here. You're saying, here's what I'm going to do for you. We're going to put these photographs up all over your restaurant. They are going to look like $1 million. We're going to go back to the studio. We're going to call everybody. They're going to be telling all their friends that their photograph is proudly displayed at your restaurant. Now your restaurant is being talked about all over town. I mean, if we put 10 photographs up and each person only tells 10 people, that's 100 people that are mentioning your restaurant. 100, and then next month we're going to come back and do it all over again.
Oh, okay, that's my next question.
With a whole new set of 10 photographs with 10 new clients.
Right.
This is so cool.
I feel like I don't have enough new stuff.
No, you don't need new stuff. You need stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need new stuff. It doesn't have to be current right up to today. I mean, forget that. What you need is examples of your work. Like when you do a family portrait, then you break it down, you do each child individually, then you do all the children together, then you do mom alone, then you do mom and dad together. You know, maybe you do one of dad with the kids as well.
Right.
You have all those different images. See, each one of which, you can pick the best of each one of those, and you can use it on an exhibit.
Okay.
You just don't use it on the same exhibit. So, in other words, the first time out at this, let's say it's a restaurant, you have the Jones family portrait.
Right.
The next time you go back, you have one of the Jones children.
Right. Right.
That's one of the images. And then the next time you go back, you have the one of all the children together.
Okay.
See, so you don't need 10 totally different clients every single month. You just need different images. And then we rotate them, see? So we have a log, we keep a very detailed log in a 3-ring binder. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Still the same way it was 30 years ago.
Mhm.
And we write in the location, then we write the name of the contact person, and then we log each photograph that's on the display with the date. So each time that Sherry goes out to change photographs, okay,
mm-hmm.
she goes to the first, she thinks this through, she plans, she only needs about 10 new images,
right.
And they're not even new. They're just images that she took out of our storage area that we store all of our images in, and our frames and all that. So she goes to the first place, she takes down those 10 images, she puts up the newer 10 images.
Right.
Okay, she logs each one that's in there by name. You know, this is the Jones family number such and such. She logs it in there with the date. Then she goes to the second location. She takes down those photographs at the second location, puts up the 10 she just took
from
down
the first
from
location,
the first one.
Right, so the whole thing just rotates around in a circle.
And she logs them with the date in that page in the log. So she keeps very accurate records of what's been up there, when it was up, so we can literally go back, if we want to, and use the same photographs again a year later, you know, or 8 months later. We can just look in there and we say, okay, now this one, the Jones family portrait number 22, hasn't been up in this restaurant for over 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just put that one back in there. That'll go there, you know. And so it becomes very easy.
Okay.
You don't need 10 brand new images for every single exhibit every single month.
Okay.
No. Too much money.
Yeah.
Too expensive.
Yeah.
We use our images until, number one, they get damaged.
Right.
And we throw them away. Number two, they're so old that the hairstyle looks bad or the clothing looks bad, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, we use them forever.
So the same image might show up in the same place several times over the course of several years.
Not even a mite. It most definitely will.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, we have a marketing budget, and we're very, very careful with that budget. So, you know, there's a limit to how many images we can produce every year.
Yeah.
And so we've got a whole special little closet storage area in our studio that is devoted to frames and sample images.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever Sherry's ready to do an exhibit, she just goes in there, she pulls out a couple of images, she looks at her log, she looks where she's going first, she looks what's been up recently, and everything is in there by date. I mean, it is so simple.
Okay.
And then she just selects which photographs. And then, of course, you know, we talk about it in our staff meetings, you know. June is going to be Family Portrait Month, so why don't we put all families up at this place. And, you know, we'll talk about what we want up, and then she'll put the appropriate images up. But that's after doing this for years and years and years. When you're first getting started, you put up whatever you've got.
Yeah.
You know, and the hardest thing for me was that my photography was improving at dramatic rates. Back at the beginning, when I had just left Omaha, Nebraska after understudying with Donald Jack,
mm-hmm.
My photography was increasing dramatically, you know, getting better.
Right.
And it was hard for me to put up a photograph that I could see something wrong with it. You know, boy, if I were going to do that over again,
yeah, right.
I'd pose that hand a lot better than it is not.
Didn't right.
And, well, you get over it. Duh. You've got the thing. It's sitting here. You've got permission from the client to use their photographs as examples of your work. I've got a signed model release. Baby, I'm putting that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then as the money came in and as business got better and better and better, I started throwing photographs away.
Sure. Sure.
You know, that I really, really yeah. disliked.
Well, I think I have decent stuff to put up. I'm not
right on.
I'm not too worried about that. I think I have, you know, a fair number of
yep.
pretty nice.
But see, your main consideration has to be the demographics. You have to go to high traffic areas, malls, movie theaters, restaurants, and then hair salons, office buildings. We're real lucky in Grand Rapids. There's two office buildings that have enormous traffic because of the way the downtown is laid out.
Mm-hmm.
People travel through the building. They walk through
nice.
The hallways
yeah.
to get to the other side. But, oh, wonderful. And I've had exhibits in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the best, you know, because high traffic, you need thousands of people
right.
seeing your photographs
right.
so that a few of them who are actually thinking about having photographs taken will actually take a lift card and pick up a phone and give you a call or go to your website or
right.
call your recorded hotline.
Right.
You know, so because photography isn't like food, you know.
Yes.
They're not going to the grocery store tonight to buy food. Well, they are, but they're not
right.
going to the portrait studio
right.
tonight.
You don't starve to death if
no.
you don't get your portrait done.
You know,
right.
so you know, of all the thousands of people that see our work, only a handful of them are actually looking for photography at this particular
mm-hmm.
moment in their life.
Okay, so here's a specific thing that's coming up. I approached a jewelry store because a wedding client I just did had bought their ring there, and I was actually in the store. I did some pictures there as part of the engagement photographs
cool.
for the reflections thing.
Right on.
So I approached them about putting up wedding pictures. I thought that would be appropriate.
Good work. Good work.
For a jewelry store. And
I had wedding photographs.
Wedding. What did I say?
I'm not sure, but I thought you said
I didn't say photographs. I'm sorry.
I just got to keep reminding you.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You're getting very good at it.
It's a process.
Yeah,
you know, I'm getting a little better, but I make many slips.
It.
But, you know, I've 90% eliminated the word shoot from my vocabulary.
Good.
But, you
it's
know,
gotta be 100%.
It slips in occasionally, but it's getting better.
Yeah.
Anyway, and usually I catch myself. It's funny. I go, oh, yeah, I was doing a commercial shoot. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
Commercial assignment. Yeah.
Commercial assignment, yeah. Anyway, so I approached, after several phone calls, got a hold of the owner, spoke to him. He said, he was going away, and he wants me to call him back in a week or so. But what he was thinking of is the big problem. What he was thinking of was that I make some little 5x7s and 8x10s, and I put them in some of their picture frames to decorate their picture frames.
No.
And
no.
I don't want to do that.
No way.
What he does not, initially anyway, does not want to do is give me any space, you know, either put things up on the walls or give me any space to put up an exhibit. He didn't
right.
seem too excited about that.
Right, because he doesn't see any benefit.
Right.
See, I wouldn't be either. I mean, I got to make a certain amount of money for every square foot in a retail operation.
Absolutely. And it better be producing, or I better be doing something
right.
else with it.
So
understood.
See, I understand exactly where he's coming from. That just tells us that you haven't appropriately sold him on how he can benefit by displaying your work in his jewelry store.
Now, my feeling when I approached him, my thinking was, I wasn't sure that realistically I was going to be able to drive traffic directly to his store, because it's not like going out to dinner, you know. I mean, if I call people and say, hey, I've got your portrait up in so-and-so's jewelry store, are they really going to go in there and buy a ring? I don't think so. So what I said...
But there's a good chance there's a very good chance that, you know, they're excited, mm-hmm. and if they're anywhere near that jewelry store, mm-hmm. they'll stop by to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then while they're in there, you know, she sees a bracelet that she really likes. And
mm-hmm.
See, in retail, we know that we have to have a certain volume of traffic coming in that store every single day.
Right.
And it's hard to get a person in there the first time.
Right.
If we can get, it's just like a restaurant. It's hard to get someone to eat at my restaurant the first time. But if I can get them to eat there the first time, then I can probably get them back.
Okay.
So it's the same thing. It's the same thing with a jewelry store. So what we're talking, see, so you have to, it's all part of the sales preparation process, is that before you go into the jewelry store, you have to sit down and you have to jot down a few notes. You have to say, well, let's say it's a man that owns this jewelry store,
yeah.
just for sake of example. What's his biggest problem? Okay, what's his biggest problem? I'm going to ask him that, but, mm-hmm. You know, before I go in, what would be his biggest problem? He wants more customers.
Sure.
That's what he wants.
Everybody does, of course.
You know,
yeah.
Okay, that's, and he has staffing problems. He has problems with hiring employees. They're such a pain, and they don't know how to sell. You know, they don't know how to sell the jewelry, and that really bugs him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we can help him with all of that. Let's see, what else is there? He's not in a mall. So... Mm-hmm. So he's got this problem of traffic, because a lot of people will go to the mall and go to the jewelry stores that are in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in the mall. So he's got to drive people specifically. They have to drive to him, park their car, walk in, you know.
Right.
All right. Well, so you're putting yourself... See, what you were doing by asking him yourself these questions is you are putting yourself in his position.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start thinking, okay, now how can I help that? I'm going to ask him what his biggest problems and challenges are, but let's just assume that the ones I just wrote down are correct.
Mm-hmm.
How can I help? See? All right. Well, let's see. Let's start out with the first one. He wants more customers,
mm-hmm.
and he's not in a mall, and he needs traffic. All right. Well, I can help him with that. That's obvious, because, first of all, I'm going to be able to drive people there. I'm going to put up a minimum of 10 photographs, so I'm going to use the same classic line that I use with every exhibit. You know, I'm going to go back to the studio and I'm going to call all these people, and they're going to be so excited, and they're going to tell all their friends, and everybody's talking about your jewelry store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then guess what? I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and guess what happens? A lot of people actually stop by to see their photograph. They're so honored, they're so excited that their daughter's photograph is displayed in your store. They actually stop by, and then when they're in there, this gives you a chance to introduce yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give them a brochure, blah, 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 whatever to do to build rapport. And you got yourself a new client.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I'm talking totally in terms in my head here. Before I go in, I'm thinking through of what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it, based on what his biggest challenges are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's what I do. That's the preparation. You know, a thief calls it casing the joint.
Right.
You know, but what we're doing is we're casing the joint. We're looking at where we'll put the images. We're thinking through what their biggest challenges are. Then we're going in and we're building rapport by asking them what their biggest challenges are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're prepared. We're prepared with whatever he says. We're prepared with how he can benefit by having me have my photographs at no charge up in his store. I'm not even going to charge him for this. And that's
mm-hmm.
a lot of work, a lot of money, a lot of framing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it for no charge, because I'm going to benefit, because somebody will see these images and give me a call. But it's really a win-win situation, but you're the big winner, because we're going to be going back and calling everybody. Then on top of that, I do a monthly newsletter. See, so then you start listing off the different benefits. Okay, what if he doesn't buy into this whole idea about 10 people, and I'm going to call him, and everybody's going to tell at least 10 friends, and that's 100 people talking about his jewelry store, which is absolutely true. But let's say he doesn't like that. All right, well, I do a monthly newsletter.
Uh-huh.
I have 700, and let's just make a number up, let's say 750 VIPs
uh-huh.
that I send my monthly newsletter to every single month.
Uh-huh.
Let's do an article in that newsletter about your jewelry store.
Uh-huh.
I'll write it. I'll do a couple photographs of the store. This will be cool. This is joint venture marketing. This is the modern day of the old-fashioned marketing where you'd go to the jewelry store and you'd say, I'll tell you what, if you'll hand out my business cards,
right,
I'll hand out yours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's joint venture marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But this goes so much further. Instead of just handing out business cards, we're going to be doing things that I'm going to benefit your jewelry store. So I'm going to do an article in my VIP newsletter about you and about your store and about the different things and the big special sale that you've got coming up and how I have bought things at your store or I like your store. I'm going to always tell the truth. I'm not going to make anything up. Okay, so you can see how you're trying to think of ways that you can benefit this guy by putting together a joint venture together.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is the exhibit. Then you say, not only that, but I do this big special mailing for high school seniors where I send out this special mailing with special bonus gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking for the girls, what a neat bonus gift to have a gift certificate valued at, I don't know, $50, $100 to your jewelry store. That way, when she has her portrait done at my studio,
mm-hmm.
one of her bonus gifts is this $100, let's say, certificate to your jewelry store. So now you're getting a client from me that I went after. I'm sending that client right into your jewelry store with a $100 bill in their hand,
mm-hmm.
looking for something to buy. That gives you a chance to start building the relationship, building the rapport with that client, give them some brochure, put them on your mailing list, bada bing, bada boom. See,
now,
so you just keep thinking, how else? What else can I do? Well, I'm a photographer. I can create beautiful photographs. What if I do? And I know somebody. I happen to know somebody at the press, at the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always looking for things in their human interest section on Sunday, in the Sunday paper.
Mm-hmm.
What if I come in, I do some beautiful photographs of your jewelry store, and we craft an article on where the jewelry business is going, the changes that are happening in the jewelry industry,
right.
that people would be very interested in, and I'll take this into my friend, the editor, at the newspaper, blah, 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 or I have a friend at the radio station that does interviews. See, you think through all the people that you know in the market area,
mm-hmm.
and how can I bring these people together? You're coming up with benefits, and if you really put the thought into this, like I do for every exhibit I go after,
mm-hmm.
this is the process I go through before I ever talk to anybody. I've done some thinking. I've prepared my presentation. I've thought of the various stalls and objections that they're going to give me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm ready for them. You know, you are not going to catch me off guard. I am ready. I can handle this. I'm going to close it. I'm going to close it today. And if I can't close it, I'm going to get my foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get an exhibit in here. That's all there is to it, because
mm-hmm.
it's in their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forget about what's in it for me. Who cares? He doesn't care.
Of course.
He only cares about what's in it for him.
Of course.
So you can see how this is a real sales process with some preparation.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was just reading, what was I reading in my PTS time? Who was it? I can't remember who said this, but I just read it this morning. As a general rule, the haves and have-nots boils down to the dids and did nots.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to go back and find out who said that, because
mm-hmm.
I like that. Okay? And that's the truth. See, most photographers aren't willing to go through this. This just sounds like too much work to me, frankly. I'll just sit here and hope the phone rings. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Well, yeah, until you run out of money and then
right.
you close and you go get a job in a factory. No,
right.
no. We're going to go out there. We are hungry. We are driven. We're going to go out and do the things that everybody else doesn't want to do, and we're going to get exhibits all over town like crazy. And we're going to act confident, and we're going to act successful. Even though we're shaking in our boots and we're scared to death, we're never going to let them see us sweat. We're going to go out there confidently, talking in terms of how they can benefit and how much you're looking forward to putting together a joint venture. And there's things down the road that you're doing with your direct response marketing and your bonus gifts and all these things. And who do I go to for my bonus gifts? I go to my places that I have exhibits.
Right.
That's where I go, because we have a working relationship already.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this florist that I've been in for, geez, almost 30 years now. When I need a nice bonus gift for a special offer, let's say for a family portrait, I'm going to throw in this beautiful, beautiful bouquet of flowers from Eastern Floral. That's what I'm going to do. Because they, you know, we've been working together for years and years. I've had exhibit there forever. See, so I go to the places where I have exhibits, and that's who I work with. So you're going to be benefiting for years and years to come from this, not just from the fact that I'm going to be calling people whose images are up in your store. But there's more to it than that. And that's basically how you do it.
Okay.
All right. So the question now is, what's going through your mind right now? Are you listening to this and saying, oh my gosh, I could never do that. That sounds like too much work. My gosh, you've got to be kidding me. See, the key here is that successful people force themselves to do the things that the failures don't want to do. It's not that successful people are so much smarter, so much more brilliant. It's that they have the self-discipline to actually force themselves to go out and do things that the failures say, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to wait for the phone to ring. You are sitting on a gold mine. There, the potential here in the photography industry at this time in our history is absolutely amazing. The income potential, the lifestyle potential is fantastic if you will just take action and believe in yourself and believe that this stuff is absolutely incredible. See, all the stuff that Todd and I are talking to you about is proven stuff. This isn't theory. This is stuff that we do. This is stuff that we have proven works. This isn't theory. Now, I was reading in my PTS time this morning, one of my favorite people, I know all of you have heard me talk about him before, is Napoleon Hill. And there was this one little sentence or two sentences that really stood out to me. Quote, is it possible that you have imprisoned your mind in a social and cultural concentration camp? Have you subjected yourself to a brainwashing of your own making, isolating yourself from ideas that could lead to your success? So, back that up and play that over again, because this is really a good question. How do you feel after listening to this? Are you going to go out and take action on this? Are you going to do this? Are you going to actually go and do this? Because if you do, you will achieve the success that you dream of, the success that you deserve. See, if you take the proven actions that Todd and I are sharing with you, you will achieve the success that you demand, that you desire, and that you deserve. You can do this stuff. Photography is a great business to be in. I hope you've enjoyed this, but more than just enjoy it, take action on it, because this is how I built the studio of my dreams, and you can do the same thing yourself.